welcome to A Drummer's Guide to, the podcast all about the subject surrounding being a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument and what that takes. So today I'd like to cover a subject that was inspired by Kevin Cook, and aside from anything, it's purely like the reason I was like, I want to do this today is because of the term that he used. And I was like, in fact, like, it's just such an Englishism. Faffing. I want to talk about faffing. So for anyone that doesn't know what that means, what faffing means is kind of like mucking around and like getting into the minutiae of something when actually it's kind of like procrastination, but with lots of tinkering involved, like tinkering around with little bits. And what he describes and what I related to were things like, for a drummer, like getting really obsessive about the height of the hi-hat or the angle of the snare or the height of your drum seat, and just being so hyper-focused on that and just what that means. And, you know, if I just get this thing right, then everything will fall into place. Now, I don't think I know anyone who is not sort of doesn't have a little bit of faff in them. Again, just the word alone I think is so brilliant, just faffing around, like just mucking around, faffing around with useless things. But I thought, you know what, I reckon that this is quite a universal experience. So I thought I'd address my dealing with it, what it means to me, because you know me, I like to look into things, I like to understand why I'm doing things versus just going, oh, well, that's a thing and I'm going to stop doing it. That doesn't work for me. I need to understand why I'm doing something to kind of like get to the root cause and go, okay, if I sort that out, then maybe the other things will fall into place. That's kind of my whole ethos in life generally. It's why I have therapy. I think it's wonderful. Anyway, faffing. So I'm going to give you some examples. When I was just thinking about this and I was thinking, right, yeah, of course I faff. You know, when I'm sat in sound check, for instance, and I'm like just getting all the bits of my kit just so. And, you know, if I play but it doesn't feel quite settled, then I'm like, if I just lift this hi-hat just like a millimeter, then it will be all right. And if this angle of my arm is correct, and then everything will be fine. That's kind of what faffing looks like to me on a gig, at least. And as I say, I can't remember not doing this, and I still do it. I definitely still do it. But these days I kind of catch myself and I notice it. And again, I wouldn't have even thought about this had Kevin not reached out and gone, can you talk about this? because I've just been doing it unconsciously / consciously for so long. So the last time that I remember consciously doing this and the train of thought that followed was on The Voice Kids. So the way that it rolled on that gig was we would be in rehearsals for like 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. And then we'd head into the studio, as in the film studio, TV studio, up in Elstree or Manchester, depending. And for some reason, whenever I got in that room, and I don't know why it was, I don't know, this is going to sound ridiculous, I don't know whether it was because it, you know, in a rehearsal room, obviously, me and the band, we're all very close, we're all very together, it's all very, you know, and the environment is very warm, it's very at home, it's very safe, you know, and even down to the fact that the room is treated in such a way that, you know, it's a little bit dead, it sounds nice, it just feels warm to me. It feels warm, it's where we are together. We are a team, we are a unit, we are a family, we are one. But as soon as we jump into that blooming TV studio, all the floors are like, what are they made of? Plastic, essentially. Maybe, I don't think they're Perspex, but they're plastic. It's all very harsh, very hard lines, the stage is massive, so we're all spread out. So I would instantly feel a lot more vulnerable and alone, even though it wasn't. It's ridiculous. It's all in my head. But it felt very cold. It was actually physically cold in that room as well. Always. It was always cold. Layers was the key. Layers, layers, layers. But what this meant for me was that mentally, I was desperately trying to just get comfortable in the space. I have this big thing about whenever I come into any new space, I just want to normalize it as quickly as possible. And the quickest way for me to do that is via my drums, because my drums are constant. You know, these drums, especially, so the ones that I play on The Voice Kids, or played, I should say, I've had with me since 2012, so over 10 years now. We've been through a lot. We've done a lot of gigs. There's a lot of stuff that has happened. We have... This is going to sound weird because I'm kind of making them an animate object, but we've been through a lot, me and that set of drums, and they've been there for me. I've been there for them, I guess. And anyway, so that's always where I start. And what that looks like for me is that I start faffing. I start, like I say, literally every angle of the snare, like just go down like half a degree, or like the hi-hat, just go up a millimeter, or the ride, I just need it in ever so slightly. You know, these tiny, tiny details, which arguably there is value in getting those details right, which I'll go into. But actually, more often than not, the reason that I'm doing these things is to make myself feel comfortable and make myself feel more settled in what is not an alien environment, because I spent a lot of time in that room, but inherently an uncomfortable environment. It's hard, it's cold, we're very separate. Faffing becomes my coping mechanism. And I think it's the same with a lot of other people. I know my friend Charisse, I've seen her do it in sound checks. I've seen her do it at the beginning of shows where she's faffing needlessly. I know she is, because I do it too. And I'm like, right, she's just getting comfortable. And it's not about the actual faffing, the thing that you're faffing around with. It's about the comfort that comes with that. And I guess, do you know what I think it is? Just, again, this is a very stream of consciousness, because I hadn't thought about this until this morning when Kevin emailed me. I think it's about exercising control. Control over the very few things that you can have control of in any situation, but especially like on a gig, if there's pressure, if you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable, it's just exercising that little bit of control that you have. So as I say, what I do, because I get into a loop with it where I get really obsessive in, like, I think if you've been listening to me or watching me for any amount of time, I think you've clocked on to the fact that I can get quite obsessive about stuff. And I get into a loop where I start believing that if things aren't exactly in the right place, then I won't play well and it won't be right, and you know, it's gonna sound rubbish, and you know, this spiral and spiral and spiral of thoughts, which I have been, you know, I have succumbed to in the past. I'd say that I'm sure that they've ended up with rubbish results in the end, but what I do now, like I said, there's almost an element of superstition about it with me, and which I highly would not recommend, but I've had that again since I was a kid. I used to have this stupid notion that every day, I've never said this before to anyone, I don't think out loud, every day would either be a good day or a bad day, and it was often playing wise, and I'm talking about from when I was 11, from when I first started playing drums. So if I had a good day playing drums, I felt good, I felt like I'd learned something, I felt like I was growing, the next day would be a bad day, and years this went on for. So, but inherently, if you go into a day going, oh, yesterday was a good day, so today's gonna be a bad day, that's gonna affect your day. And I'm not embarrassed, but it's, what a way to think, you know what I mean? Like, what a way to think. But it would impact, you know, if I had a gig on an off day, I'd be coming at it with a negative attitude, which of course that's gonna affect how I actually play. Anyway, interesting side note. I think it's interesting. And again, I don't think I've ever told anyone that. So there we go, welcome. so anyway, yeah, there is an element of superstition of like, right, everything has to be just so for all of this to work, for everything to go as I want it to. And again, the more I think about it, the more that it is about control, definitely, as is many compulsions in life for most people, I think. Certainly for me, always a control thing, always. So what I do, or what I have done since kind of realizing that this is a thing, and like I said, I've never consciously noticed it as a thing until right now, but it is something that I do. I stop myself and I'm like, okay, I notice that I am being very obsessive over the angle of this Tom right now. Okay, right. So, first I ask myself questions. Now, I'm sure you've clocked. I talk to myself a lot. And do you know what? The older I get, the more I talk to myself. And the older I get, the more I talk to myself out loud. If you see me walking in the woods or in the park or down the river or whatever, chances are you're gonna think I'm on a phone call. I'm not. I don't have ears in. Nope. I'm just having a genuine conversation with myself. I'm having an argument with myself most of the time. Not in a horrible way, in a very loving way. That's taken me time too. So what I do is I notice that I'm doing this thing. The angle of this Tom is not quite right. I stop myself. I notice it, I stop myself. I take a deep breath. And then I just go, right, does this actually matter? Does this actually matter? And there are some follow-up questions. So first of all, sorry, are you in pain right now by the way that you're playing because of this setup? No. There's only one thing in my setup that gives me any sort of jip, and that's my ride. And I know when that's not right, and that's fine. I know that, and I can get it to a good place. But other than that, am I ever in pain? No, never. So, okay, it's not that. So really, you're fine on that front, because that is a valid reason. Now, aside from being in pain, sorry, I'm going to get a little bit aggro with myself. If this isn't at you, this is at me. Then I start going, okay, right, so you're fixated on this Tom right now. Let's have a think back to all of the hundreds upon hundreds of different kits that you've played on over the years. Let's have a think about that. Now, there are, I'd say 95% of those kits were not set up in a way, maybe not 95%, let's say, I don't know, 80%, it doesn't matter. Do you know what, it doesn't matter. The point is, there have been hundreds of kits that you've sat behind that were not set up to exactly what you wanted and exactly the angles where you wanted it and exactly the height. They weren't. You were sitting on a stool that wasn't a saddle stool. It was a round top and oh my goodness, the world's gonna end. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You did the job. You did the job and you did it well. So therefore, why in the world is this angle of this Tom going to affect how you're playing? So there's kind of that rationale of like, again, almost like gathering evidence to support the fact that what we're fixating on here now, again, sorry, I'm talking we, because it's me and me, myself and I that are all arguing against each other. So, you know, we have been in situations where it hasn't been ideal, but you've done the job. So what are we really worried about here? What is actually the problem? Why are you suddenly fixated on this? And why are you suddenly wanting to fix it, in inverted commas, to make everything okay? And that's when I start actually thinking about, okay, what's actually going on here? And often, it's when I start feeling insecure about something. Now, insecurity is a wild thing. It's a wild thing, and obviously everyone's insecurities manifest themselves in different ways. Turns out mine is tinkering with my Tom. Or, you know, faffing with my hi-hat height, which is good because some people get nasty with other people. I wouldn't want to be that person. That is not how I ever want to be. But the point is, I kind of just go, all right, what is really happening here? And again, it almost always comes back to feeling uncomfortable or insecure. And as I say with the voice kids, for me, well, actually in any gig, it's one of two things for me. It's either that there's something physical about what I'm about to do that I don't feel 100% on. And I felt that on gigs, I felt that on the voice kids, so my level of my level that I like to work to, competency, my level of competence, I can't say that word today, what is going on? Anyway, the level that I like to work at is that I like to know what I'm doing inside and out, and, you know, if you want to talk about percentages, yeah, okay, you can't have anything more than 100%, but I need it to be so that even on my very worst day, so say I rock up to a gig and I'm really unwell, like the worst kind of flu that you can imagine, for instance, where your whole body is aching, you're sweating, you know, you feel nauseous. I've never been actually sick on a gig, and I would never want to be, so I'm not even going to enter into that. But, you know, you're feeling the worst that you can. But even when you're feeling like that, the lowest level has to be at such a high standard that no one's even going to notice. Unless they speak to you or see you sweating, or they see that there's a puddle of sweat beneath your drum stool. You know, I don't want anyone to look at me or hear me and go, oh, bit off, she's unwell. Oh, no, that's unacceptable to me. And what that means is the level that I need to be at in competency, I said it, competency, is it needs to be irrefutable. It needs to be so certain that there is no room for, nope, that's not it. And like I say, I have been in a situation. There's one particular song, I still can't get it out of my head, I can't get it out of my brain, where I did not feel at that level. And I'm still annoyed about that now. And it's my own fault. It's nobody else's fault. It was fine. It all worked. Like, no one would have known. There's one person that knew. And it's only because I explicitly told them, because I was so annoyed. And they understood, because they are like me. And they're very perceptive. But like I say, so that would be an example of, oh, I'm faffing because I'm about to do something that I'm not like 1,000% sure of. Like I say, I know that that's not physically possible, but you get what I'm saying. It needs to be so certain for me that there's no room for second guessing. And that's not to say that things don't go wrong in the moment. Of course they do. I'm human. We're all human. But going into it, it's like, I am certain about what I'm about to do. I am certain about the job that I am doing. I need to start from that springboard. Anything else that happens that's sort of a little bit left field or catches me off guard, that's fine. I can deal with it because my basis, my foundation is so solid that everything else can just be a reaction, and that's fine. I can reconcile that. That's okay. That's humanness. Humanness is okay, but I need to be starting from a good point. So, like I say, if I notice that it's that, if the situation allows, which again, that particular moment in the Voice Kids did not allow, that just means that I need to go back to my kit and I need to drill that down into me so that it is in my bones. Literally just in my bones. I was talking to a friend of mine, Adam Stanley, and he said a really great thing about learning songs. He said, I want it branded on my brain. You know, like they brand cattle with the hot poker thing, whatever it is, stamp thing. I don't know. As you can tell, never been around cattle really. that's the same. It's exactly that. It's for him, he needs it branded on his brain. For me, I need it in my bones. I need it in my soul. I need every part of me, every molecule in my body to know it and be headed in the right direction, sorry, not the right direction, the same direction, and just be cohesive. That's how I feel in myself. That's how I need to feel before I, well, not, no, let's rephrase. It's not how I need to feel, it's how I like to feel. That's the ideal, because obviously sometimes it's not practical to want to be at that level with stuff. Sometimes it's just quick, you just gotta go. And as I say, I remember this one song, I'm still so annoyed about it. It came off fine, but I still remember that feeling. And as I say, that insecurity for me was just like faffing. That's how it presented itself. So that's one side of things. It can be a physical thing that I just don't feel comfortable with. But then equally, there's another side of it. And often for me, I'd say the physical side of things, like not feeling prepared, I'd say that's probably 5% of my experience in terms of like my faffing. But 95% of the time, it's mental for me. It's my own brain. And the crux of what my brain is telling me is, you're not good enough. you're not good enough to be here. What are you doing? You're getting away with this. You are a charlatan. You are an imposter. People are going to find you out. All these lovely things that my brain tells me. I've been very good at challenging those thoughts these days, but they still appear often. It's really fun. It's not really fun, but I can almost guarantee that you can relate to this. So again, for me, the voice kids, it is the single most triggering place in terms of negative self-talk, in terms of insecurity, not just in playing, just in life, in being a human, in just interacting with people. You know, that space is filled with not only some of the best musicians in the world, but some of the nicest people who I hold in such high regard in every respect. They are intelligent, they are interesting, they are funny as anything. And just their experience, it's a wonderful environment to be in. It's one of the most wonderful environments I've ever been in, musically, just personally, just it's a joy. I don't think I've ever laughed so much on a gig. It's just so much fun, and it stretches me, and you know, just everything about it just works for me. The pace, everything. I know that I go on and on about this gig, but honestly, I love it so much. And now it's not coming back next year. I'm really realizing how much I'm going to miss it. So yeah, you'll have to forgive me if I get nostalgic with it. But in saying that, there were these moments of like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. Like, what is going on? And again, it would manifest itself in, if I could just get this hi-hat level correct, if it was like a millimeter lower, or the one that is the most for me, my drum stall height. So I sit, my drum stall is at the very lowest that it's physically possible to sit. If I could sit lower, I would. I'd probably sit on the floor if I could, to be honest, because there's something about that grounding for me that is really important. And so anyway, yeah, that was always my go-to. It was like, oh, my seat must not be at the lowest it can physically be. But again, this is just sort of a symptom of something that's a lot more deep-rooted for me. So it was usually when I was like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling really insecure about being here, about being good enough to be here. And again, like I say, it's not necessarily as a player, it might be just as a person. You know, I'm weird. I'm a weird person. Look, we're all weird. This is the reality. We've all got so many quirks. And when you are suddenly very aware of those quirks that you think are normal, because we all spend so much time with ourselves, we normalize them. But when something happens and someone not calls you out with them, but like just, I don't know, mentions it, you're like, oh my God, am I weird? I think I might be weird. I suddenly feel really weird. This hi-hat is too low. So anyway, what I sort of like do in those situations, and again, it always, the bottom line of those thoughts for me are just, I'm not good enough. That's it. So what I have to do for myself is, again, stop myself, take a deep breath whilst I'm looking at that hi-hat height and going, that's probably not what the issue is here right now. And what it is about is gathering evidence for me. It's a big part of my life, is just retrospectively looking back at the different gigs that I've done, the different people that I've been around, the people that I have in my inner circle, and just going, hold on a second, which is one of my favorite things, is to literally say, hold on a second. Voice Kids, great example. Did that gig for 4 years. Even in the fourth year, I still caught myself feeling really insecure about my place in that setup. You know, I was still that's unfair to say. Last year I wasn't the newest one there, but I was still a newbie, you know. I always feel like a newbie in that gig, which I think is a good thing, because it means I'm always open to like growth and all of that, which I think in everything it's great to come in with that attitude. There is a flip side to that, because you don't want to be unconfident in what you're doing, but I think there's always something to learn. Anyway, maybe another subject for another time. But anyway, I found myself feeling like that kind of like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. Blah, blah, blah. But as I say, on this gig, I just would be like, okay, breathe. Hold on a minute. So, if that were true, in fact, no, it's not even if that were, no, if that were true, why would they ask you back? They could have the pick of so many different drummers on this gig. So many different drummers. And so why would they not do that? It would be so easy just to go, actually, we're going to go another way. You know, yeah, they're kind people. They are. But they wouldn't sacrifice the job just to not hurt my feelings. They wouldn't. It's not. That doesn't make sense. And this is it for me. I need things to make sense. And as soon as I start gathering evidence to back myself, I'm like, oh, okay. And then if it was like a personal thing, like if someone sort of mentioned something that I'd said that I suddenly felt very self-conscious about, I'd be like, okay. Well, first of all, I don't know, like, none of us truly know what it's like to be in the position of someone else. We don't know their background. You know, some of those guys in that band I've known for a long time. But even so, I don't know their experience. I don't. We can talk about it, but I'm never going to know. I'm never going to, just in the same way, they're never going to know. They're never going to know everything that's happened to me. They're never going to know why I react to things. I don't even know why I react to things. I'm learning, and it's interesting, but it's all conjecture. I can't speak today, can I? So, yeah, I kind of like go, okay, I don't know what's going on with them. They might have had a really bad morning and they're just extra sensitive and they just need to, you know, maybe they're feeling insecure. And the way that they present their insecurity is that they have to call out someone on something if it's a bit different to how they think. And then it becomes about like, oh, that's a shame. They might be feeling insecure. I should probably try and make them feel better. Or, you know, what can I do? Or, you know, have a word with them afterwards. We're like, is everything all right with you? Which is often what I would do. Also, I'd think back to, okay, let's think back to other conversations that I've had with these people or with this person. That was a great conversation. We had such a laugh. We really connected with that. Okay, well, that's probably more likely. This was just something a bit odd. And like, just think about the general experience with this group of people. So yeah, it's about, like I say, gathering evidence. And then going wider, it's like, okay, let's say, or honestly, this is all happening in my head within minutes of me sitting there, just seemingly just staring into space, and my brain is going, then I'll start saying, okay, let's say whatever I've said or whatever's happened, let's say that they're like, I think this person is weird, an idiot, I don't like them now, and I don't want to be in their life. Okay, well, that's not ideal. It's not what I'm going for. Definitely not. I am a chronic people pleaser. It's a problem sometimes. It's fine. I love people. I want the whole world to be happy and for everyone to be friends. It's completely irrational. It's completely never going to happen, but that's my aim in life. But let's say that they're thinking, right, I don't want to be this person's friend. They're not good enough for me. That's literally the worst thing I can think of. Like, I'm not good enough for this person who I revere in various ways, whoever it is. And I revere most people because I always try and find the best in them, basically. But let's say they go, right, Emily's not good enough for me. I don't want to be around her anymore. I think, okay, well, let's look at the people that I have in my inner circle right now. They are some of the nicest, kindest, most interesting, funny, intelligent, just wonderful human beings. Their souls are just beautiful. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not without their faults, as am I. I am not without my faults, not by a long way. But there is an understanding there, there is a respect there, there is a joy there to all those people that are in my inner circle, and it's a very small inner circle. So if that person wants to feel that way, that's fine. Maybe they're not meant to be in my inner world. Maybe they just, you know, a little bit on the outer world. There's no shade there. I'm not gonna, you know, push them away, which actually I do push people away when I start getting scared. That's one of my go-tos. I'm trying to get better at that. But I kind of just go, okay, well, if that's the case, then that's okay. And it's kind of just settling with that and just going, okay, but the people that I do have, they're pretty awesome. So that's fine. Like, this is not actually changing my life. I'm here to do a job, and that's fine. So stop fixating on faffing around with that hi-hat height, because it's not going to make a difference. Then it's just about, for me, just, like I say, centering myself, grounding myself. I start concentrating on my breathing. I think about all the times that I've been successful in what I've set out to do. And then I try to, I suppose, bring all those experiences and just collate them, I suppose, and bring them into myself so that they're like I'm embodying all of those positive experiences, positive aspects of my life that tell me that you're all right. You're all right. You can do this. This kit is great. You're going to play brilliantly. Just relax. Just be you, because being you has got you to this point. And you're all right. And the angle of a tom, or the height of a stool, or the, you know, the height of your hi-hat is not going to change anything about the last, at this stage, 36 years that has led up to this moment. So anyway, that is my two cents on faffing. And Kevin, thank you so much for this prompt, if you like. I've never consciously thought about when I faff, what that means, how I talk to myself, and how I deal with it. And I've just never actually put that under the microscope. But I'm glad that I have, because I'm so intrigued about why humans do the things that they do. And obviously I'm the closest subject I can get to truly knowing. So I just love to share that if I can, with any sort of coherence, of which I don't often, but I don't know, it seems to resonate with some people, so it's fine. But yeah, I would definitely, I don't know, I just think it's interesting. That's kind of my, I think that's the basis of my life. Anything that I notice like this, or is brought to my notice, thank you, Kevin, once again, I just find interesting. I like knowing why I do things. It's all good and well, sort of like things happening and you taking action on stuff. I love that too. I'm an action taker. Like, it's very forward thinking. I love that. But I do like to understand what gets me to that point, what triggers me. And like I say, for me, faffing around is my way of dealing with insecurity about something in the moment. And that also, if you want to talk about, like, in away from the drums, away from gigs, that also presents itself in when I'm at home and I'm when I'm procrastinating, essentially. And again, it's to do with insecurity often, because it's either, no, do you know what it either is? Overwhelm, so I just need to break stuff down, or it's insecurity about not being able to do it, or something like that, or just feeling really fearful about stuff, which I get a lot. Like, I really do. And it's so ridiculous, because once I go and do the thing, it's fine. And I actually end up enjoying it, and I feel the growth, and I love that feeling. But whenever those feelings come up, I often, my version of faffing when I'm at home is going down rabbit holes with completely inconsequential things. Things like, I'm trying to think of an example that would be relatable. It's things like redesigning my website completely. Look, my website is not perfect, not by any stretch, but for some reason, it's one of my go-tos when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm feeling like I'm avoiding something, whatever. I suddenly feel like if I just redesigned my website in a bit of a better way, in inverted commas, or a simpler way, or, you know, whatever it is, then everything would be better and life will just fall into place. That is my version of faffing when I'm at home. And I will spend hours, literal hours, hyperfixated on my website, basically breaking it down, building it back up. And sometimes, this happened the other day, oh my gosh, one thing happened, I'd spent hours on it, maybe like 2 hours on it, and so ridiculous. I was just doing it to create essentially the same website. It was so weird. And then it messed up and I lost most of my work because I'm an idiot. And it sort of, because I lost the work, it broke the pattern. It broke the hyperfixation. And it gave me a second to just go, hold on a second. Why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. Like, this has not changed anything. What am I actually avoiding here? And anyway, it's just a wild thing. So I think finding ways to break that train of thought, that pattern, I think is really useful. Do you know what I've just realized as well, as I'm saying this? What I've started doing again, and I go on and off with this, I have done for years, is using the Pomodoro technique. I do an episode about this way, 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 way back. So it's this idea that you work for 25 minutes, you take a 5 minute break. I have a literal timer, apart from when I'm recording these episodes, because at this point, I don't even know how long this is, 36 minutes, yeah. I have this timer. So I work for 25 minutes, then a timer will go off, and then I'll stop for 5 minutes. Now, when I tell you, because of the way that I am, and I hyperfixate, as I said, when I get into a mode of working on something, it is the most jarring and difficult thing to come away from whatever I'm concentrating on. But what I will say is two things. First of all, it's very healthy for me to come away and to take a 5 minute break, and I come back fresh. And just generally speaking, I'm so much less tired when I work like this, even though it's incredibly difficult for me, incredibly difficult. It really is going against my own instincts, but it definitely is for the best for me. And I know this intellectually, and yet I fall off the wagon with it, but I'm on it at the moment and it's such a difference. But the other thing that this Pomodoro technique is really good for is for knocking you out of a way of thinking. So when that alarm goes off, if I'm suddenly down this rabbit hole, it just gives me a signal to stop and just go, hold on a second. What are you doing? What are you actually doing? What is the goal here? Why are you so obsessive over this? Like, what is happening? And what are you really avoiding right now? Like, what is it that you are meant to be doing that you're not doing? So, in terms of that, this is a bit of an aside, but it's a very useful way for me to break that thought pattern, because that's what it is for me. I get into these spirals of thoughts. And again, if it's on a gig, it can be my stall height. If I'm at home, it's redesigning my website, for instance. Or maybe, you know, I want to redesign the whole of my Instagram feed. Of course, because that's useful. No, that's not useful. That is avoidance. That is, you know, there's maybe not a million. There's many other things that I should be doing, could be doing, that are much more valuable. As valuable as social media is, and I enjoy it, I think that's it. It's things that I enjoy because there's an element of creativity that I really enjoy with it. But as I say, I just get hyperfixated on the weirdest things. But hey ho, I am who I am. It is what it is. Anyway. With all that being said, I'm going to go now and go and, what am I going to do? Eat. I need to eat. I'm hungry. I think I'm going to go and have some jollof rice for anyone that's interested. Anyway, if this has sort of spoken to you and resonated with you in any such way, then please do feel free to do what you do best, and that's like, share and subscribe. Share it with any friends, musician friends, creatives, whatever that might relate to this. And Kevin Cook, thank you once again for this lovely subject matter and question. I didn't anticipate I would be talking for so long on this, if I'm honest, but you know me, I love a chat. If you'd also like to go the extra mile with this podcast and support it, you now can on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, and if you'd like to see anything else that I get up to in my drumming life, and aside from drumming, really, I mean, it's all drumming based, let's face it, my professional life, there you go, in my career, you always can, and you can watch me redesign my website periodically at emilydrums.com. That's emilydrums.com. So come and say hi over there. And if you want me recording on your songs, if you want some one-on-one mentoring, if you want to just do anything, basically, I'm there. Just reach out and touch faith. Anyway, I hope you're having a lovely day, wherever you are, whatever you're up to, whatever you're up to. I'm sending you lots and lots of love, and I will see you again next time for another subject. All right, mwah! I'll see you later. Bye.